What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. My head hurts. We just spent the last 30 seconds going through playoff scenarios for the Bills. Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline.
And then
Sal,
I threw a fifth one in there to cause migraines for both of us.
I think we got to the point where the only team the Bills can't play in the wild card round is the Chargers. I'm not 100% sure on that. Again, my head hurts. How you doing?
It's good. Yeah, I think you're right about that. I'm doing well. Happy New Year to you guys. Yeah, I think that's right.
And that's right.
I drew up the literal only scenario, Sal, and it's this. The Bills have to win. Chargers lose. Texans win. Jaguars lose. Texans move to the 3. Bills move to the 6. It's the only way they could face the Texans. I need a Tylenol.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, that's right. That's right. They could still play Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They could still play anybody.
They could still play New England at Jacksonville. So right now the odds are most likely at Jacksonville, second most likely at New England. And then a whole bunch of other things are kind of up in the air. I think Denver would probably fall next, but it could still be Pittsburgh or, you know, Baltimore.
Yeah.
Now, I think that most conventional wisdom Bills fans, not everybody agrees with this, would say you don't want Houston, you don't want Baltimore, right? For two different reasons. Houston because of their pass rush, Baltimore because of their run game. There's no doubt about that. Houston, as you said, it would take a bit to get there because I would think Jacksonville is going – They're going to try and win the division. They're going to try and beat Indy. They're going to finish as the 3.
And but they're facing Tennessee.
Tennessee.
They're facing Tennessee.
And Houston's facing Indy. That's right.
Yep.
Okay, so you probably think Jacksonville wins that, but weirder things have happened. Look at Atlanta against the Rams the other night, right? I mean, weirder things have happened. Okay, so then you have, if Houston sees that happening, here's the thing, though. If Houston sees at 1 o'clock that Jacksonville has things in hand, does Houston start to pull their starters? All of a sudden, they lose because of it. Chargers are already resting their guys. We know that.
Yep.
I could see a scenario where the Bills jump into the 5.
Oh, I could too. And Sal, kind of a fun thing for Bills fans as well. For the most part, we will know what the Bills need to do and where they can go because they're the 4:25 game. And most of these games that we'll keep an eye on are the 1 o'clock ones, obviously outside of the AFC North matchup for Sunday Night Football.
That's right. So what's interesting is, and I don't think you can tell, if the Bills, when the Bills go out to play the Jets, I think we'll talk about this. I think they're going to treat it like they want to give guys rest, but they want to win the game. It's the last game at Highmark, and the guys who go out there, they're trying to win the game for sure. So if Mitch Trubisky's out there for most of the game, and he's looking to throw touchdown passes, no doubt. So I think you're trying to win the game. I think what happens then is if you win and you know that win gets you to the 5, well, then we all become big Pittsburgh Steelers fans, I guess, right? I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
On Sunday night, because you wouldn't know your opponent till Sunday night, though, if that happens. That's the issue.
Yeah, it's good. That's where I'm excited for Sunday, because, Sal, I'm right there with you. I think the Bills are going to, for the most part, treat this as they can rest guys. Now, it's not a preseason game. They're not going to have 90 guys on the roster. They're going to have to kind of, play a little bit with the roster. You know, we all look at Allen, but does not mean the entire offensive line is going to get changed out. It could, but does not mean it can. But that is going to be something to keep an eye on. And, Sal, I do wonder, on a Wednesday, sitting here now, who do you want the Bills to go play? Like, who is the team you want to see them the most go to?
I don't know. I go back and forth between New England and Jacksonville. I really do. There's different reasons for both, which is I think you feel they can really match up with New England, and they're not super explosive, like on the outside without Mac Hollins, but they have Drake May, and he's amazing. And Drake May he deserves every bit of the MVP love he's getting. There's no doubt about it. They don't have this incredible run game, but they can rip off explosive runs, and they play good sound defense, but it's not like something like you see in Houston, right? Okay. So that's that. But guys, I just can't stomach the thought of going there and losing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To New England. That's just it's in my brain. I mean, you lose in any game, it's tough, but you go there and lose after the reign that they had, then you took them over, and then they have Drake May, they win the division. That there also is a great thought of go there and beat them and say, who cares about your division?
That's, that's where I'm at, Sal. Like, I know Jacksonville's the most likely, but in my head, I'm like, you know what? Let them have the AFC East. We've gotten it 5 years in a row. Maybe you need a little, you know, humble yourself and then just go back there, beat them again, and be like, cool, have the MVP, have the division.
Yeah.
You didn't even win a playoff game. Good for you. I need that a little bit in my body. I know Jacksonville's likely, but
I know Jacksonville is like this really scary monster right now, like the way they're playing. Like, that's the other part. Like, everybody says, look how they're playing. That's real. I mean, they have just been putting it on teams lately, and good teams. I mean, they scored 34 against the Broncos defense, right? I mean, like, they put it on good teams. They scored 35 against the Chargers defense. I also know that, like, they've also had moments this year, and they're on a roll right now, but that doesn't have to stay. Last week, they struggled a bit. They finally came back. They beat Indy. I also think that, you know, you look at them, they are very good against the run. They're not a huge, great pass rush team, but their pass defense is good. Like, they get interceptions. They can take the ball away. If you go down to Florida, you have good conditions. I don't know. I think the Bills, I give the Bills a good chance there, because I think it's a quarterback they've faced. And I know they've lost to Trevor Lawrence. I get it. It's a quarterback they've faced. They've seen him. It's a first-time head coach. So there's a lot that goes into all this, you know?
There's a lot to go into everything about this season, Sal, especially with how crazy it has been. We've talked about this how many times throughout the season, Sal. The Bills could absolutely run through the AFC because everyone's got questions this time around. But when it comes to the Bills themselves, they are a team that we saw the worst of it this past weekend when they score 12 points. It's frustrating how the offense can't get things done and at least finish it off. But here you are once again. The Bills have one of the highest ceilings, I should say, of anybody in the National Football League, and here they are sitting playing on the road.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the debate is, and I think this is a really like good exercise, is it better to have Kansas City and Cincinnati and maybe even the Ravens, who knows now, out of the way versus going on the road three straight games? I don't know. I think going on the road three straight games is tough. It's really tough. I think it's tough in the regular season. Now you're placing good teams in the playoffs. That's all, you know, there's something about playing at home here in Buffalo and people coming here, the mental aspect of it going on the road is tough. So, yeah, I think it's a very, very tough proposition. In a vacuum, the Bills can win any week against any of these teams. They can also lose any week against any of these teams. I'd like their chances a lot more if they're at home, because we've seen them on the road this year just be very Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, the Bills are getting back to practice today. We have mentioned it already. This kind of might be a little bit closer to a preseason game than a regular season game. But, of course, always injuries to keep an eye on, especially late in the year. Dalton Kincaid, really, I think, chief among them.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's two parts of this week's injury report. Number one is, how are guys trending at practice? And number two is, what will the team do Sunday with them, even if they are trending to play? Because I think if anybody is notable that's, you know, getting there, you might just back off on him anyway. And I think Dalton Kincaid is first and foremost for this, Zach, which is, if Dalton Kincaid, like, to me, you don't play him this week. There's no reason to.
Right, yeah.
There's no reason at all. You give him another week. I don't think you play Daquan Jones or Jordan Poyer. The guys that have been injured, there's no reason to play them this week. That, to me, the way I look at it. Now, if they're super healthy and they want to get a few reps in, that's, you know, that's how the team has to decide it, with the medical staff, with the player, with the coaching staff. But I just think that you go into this game with anybody.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's how you start. Everybody said, who are they going to arrest? Who are they not going to arrest? Are they going to arrest players? The first thing you do, if you're Sean McDermott, is you go to who's injured. And that's how you have to start with who should rest and who shouldn't. All the other stuff about, well, back off this guy, give him some rest. You got to decide first who's banged up that has to sit out. Because there's only so many spots you can not play people. Everybody else has to play. You only get 48 guys to dress. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you have a preseason roster at your disposal. You don't. You get two elevations. Four guys are out of elevations. It's not easy to do. So I think the first thing you do is you look at who's been injured. Dalton Kincaid, Daquan Jones, Jordan Poyer, Matt Prater, all these people. Terrell Bernard, we already know, is out for the game. That's where you start with what should we do. And then you get to Josh Allen, of course. We know that he's healthy enough to play. But to me, he starts. He gets his starting streak to continue, and then you get him out of there very quickly.
So, because you can't sit everybody, this isn't a college roster, you only have the 53 and actually the game day 45. I would imagine that James
48.
Cook. Oh, 48, excuse me. Sorry about that.
Yep.
But I would imagine, though, that James Cook probably gets some run here against the Jets. They'll see and they'll know entering that game just how much he needs to get in order to get past Jonathan Taylor and how much he would have to play. Obviously, Derrick Henry could sneak up and steal it in Sunday Night Football, but I don't think they're going to really account for that. But James Cook, I would imagine, probably gets some run here against the Jets.
I think this depends a little bit on what happens with Jonathan Taylor at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So Jonathan Taylor's 47 yards behind James Cook. If Jonathan Taylor passes James Cook, I fully expect James Cook to play enough to pass him. Like, James Cook has said, he didn't say this to me. I heard the TV broadcast a few weeks ago when they did a TV production meeting. They asked him, I think it was maybe Ian Eagle and JJ, like, is the rushing title important to you? He said, yes, it's important to him. It's important to his family. And I think it's important to the Bills and their organization. Like, of course, the Bills, you know, the last time, you guys know the last time, last time that a rushing title leader was in the 70s, right? That was OJ.
It was OJ, yeah.
But the last time they led the league in rushing, by the way, I looked it up, it was 2016 with LeSean.
Okay.
They led the league in yards per game. They have a chance to do that too. But I think it's important to the Bills. I think it's important to James Cook. What did they do last year, week 18? The game meant nothing. They pulled James Cook out. They get to the goal line. They put him back in just so he can get the rushing TD record.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
So like, they've shown that when guys are going for stuff, they're not going to just pull back, right? And I do that, like that.
They've always kind of tried to do right, if you will, by the guys. You remember a few years ago, they tried to get another touchdown pass to like another guy to have that the number of touchdown passes to different players, right? Like, these are things that they'll be cognizant of, but you have to thread the needle of at what point do you put a player at risk, and you don't want to do that. Because you also have to remember, even if, let's just say Jonathan Taylor runs for 70 yards, James Cook needs 30 or 40 yards. He goes out there and gets it. Well, you also have Derrick Henry right now is 150 behind, and he plays later. So he could catch up, but then I guess you just say, well, if he does, he does, and he has a great game. There's nothing we can do. But I think you treat James Cook depending on what Jonathan Taylor does. The question for me is, if Jonathan Taylor doesn't pass James Cook, does he play at all?
That is exactly what I was thinking of. If the Colts have a bad game, Taylor doesn't do anything, do they just go, all right, Cook, you're not playing. Like, we're rolling with Ty Johnson.
They might. I mean, or he may want to, you know, pad it a little bit before Derrick Henry, and he might want a few reps, you know, just to get, you know, hey, I want to go out there, play the last game in Highmark Stadium. I think all that stuff has to be baked in.
Yeah, absolutely. I selfishly want Cook to get the rushing title because I want to have a conversation in the summer, and I need that rushing title for me to really kind of lean into it. But that is a topic for a few months from now.
Yeah,
Sal,
you got it, buddy.
Another player to kind of keep an eye on, I think, for Bills fans, especially over, I would say, the last 2 months or so, Keon Coleman. He is starting to rack up the healthy and actives. I imagine he will play quite a bit on Sunday just due to the depth and wanting to sit guys. Sal, right now, really, like, where do we sit with Coleman? It's a second-round pick for the Bills, but it already feels like it is trending the way of Kyer Elam.
I agree with you. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made in the offseason about this, and probably a lot of conversations about it, a lot of evaluation and analysis on all of this. There's so many different variables involved, and, you know, Keon's still a young player, and you hope that he can kind of figure it out a little bit. I think there's, you know, the stuff off the field is leading to the stuff on the field, meaning I don't think they can trust him right now, right? If you can't do the things you're supposed to do off the field, and he's been late, and then he's not producing enough to justify putting him on the field if you can't trust him like that. That's number one. Number two is, though, you get to the offseason, and do you feel that he can take that next step? And you don't just want to, you know, say, okay, we're moving on from this player after 2 years. Kyer Elam, remember, that was the third year. After three years, they moved on from him. And he never had any. Kyer Elam, he was always raved about his work. Kyer Elam was a very hard worker. He just never was good enough to be able to, you know, be on the field enough. And that was just a guy that they drafted that never turned out. from that aspect. And I think Keon's a little different here. Now, what's interesting to me, guys, is I think Keon, this is a really great opportunity if they want for him to get on the field. As long as he's doing everything right off the field, you get him on the field this week and say, okay. Remember last year, like, he played a lot against New England. They had a ton of targets. He only caught a couple balls.
Yeah.
Now, Trubisky was the quarterback that day, and it wasn't the best day for everybody offensively. But I think this is the week where maybe you play Keon Coleman and say, show us what you can do if you want us to think about dressing you during the playoffs.
Sal Capaccio here on the Westher Hotline. As it is the final game, at least scheduled, crazy things have happened. They could move up a seed. We can't guarantee it here. But, Sal, with it being what is expected to be the final game at Highmark Stadium, we've been talking a little bit about memories. And, Sal, you've been working on the Bills Radio Network for quite a while now, and I would imagine you have plenty of memories before that as well. What are the ones that really hit home for you about Highmark Stadium?
Well, number one, and I know that it's diverging a bit from kind of how we talk about this, but I got a chance to play there, guys. I played a high school championship game there.
There you go.
And it was amazing. And, you know, I remember coming out of the tunnel and seeing the blue and gold, and Zach's also a Cleve Hill alum, right? And seeing the blue and gold out there and, you know, people rooting for it. It was just super cool to come out of the tunnel as a player. It really was, right? As a young kid, I was, 16 years old at the time. So that was awesome. But 2 years before that was my first ever game. It always sticks out to me. It was in the snow against New England. They lost. They had to win the last two games of 87. They didn't. They lost to New England in a low-scoring game. That was my first ever game there, and I remember that. I remember exactly where I sat. Kind of right below where the writer's press box is right now over there on the Bills, the tunnel side in the corner, sat there. And then, listen, nothing will ever top 51-3 to me. I was there. I was a senior in high school. It was 41-3 at halftime. It was a party the entire second half. I mean, you guys remember the perfect game, what that was like. When you just knew, like, you knew at halftime the Bills are rolling in this game. Like, there's just the Patriots dynasty is dead, right, and buried, and the Bills are fine. And, like, you knew the whole second half to revel in it. That was it going to a Super Bowl. Like, you knew the whole second half we knew this team was going to their first ever Super Bowl. It was amazing, right? That's the best memory I ever have there going as a fan. The perfect game is one of them as a broadcaster, though, and, like, as a game itself. As a moment, I mean, Nyheim Hines after DeMar.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely incredible. There's been some great ones over the years. Just for me, just watching and being on the field is Josh Allen and seeing some of the things he does has been amazing. So, you know, walk-off field goal against Miami in the snow and Snow Angels, super cool. The snow game in 2017. All those kinds of things come to mind for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I never played football at Cleve Hill. My brother did, though. He got to do that. He's talked about it being one of those surreal moments. So, absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about, Sal. Just one last thing here before we let you go. Obviously, we're all going to be off tomorrow for the New Year's. Friday, you're going to have Sean McDermott, of course, and then any other schedule bits for fans to keep an eye on the rest of the week.
Yeah, well, they're going to be practicing today and tomorrow like a normal Wednesday and Thursday. But as you said, we won't really have anything on the radio again until Friday when Sean McDermott joins me on the Extra Point Show to give an injury update, and we'll talk about the Jets game and how they're going to handle it. Maybe we'll learn more today. Sean McDermott talks to us in about an hour down at practice, guys.
All right, sounds good. Sal, Happy New Year, man. We'll talk again soon.
All right, Happy New Year to you, everybody back at the station, and, of course, all of our listeners out there. Thank you so much. Really appreciate everybody listening all year long and into 2026.
Thank you, brother. Thanks, Sal. Sal Capaccio there on the Westher Hotline. We'll take a quick timeout, 803-0550, the number to call. If you want to get your favorite stadium memories in as we, at least for us, me and Derek, we wrap up our time here on the show this week. We took some calls in the first segment. We'll keep doing that as we roll along. At 11:30, though, we'll get a little bit of Bandits action going as well. Steve Brummel will join the show. Bandits finally played another game as we're doing this weekly check-in with them. They did win it. We'll get more on that coming up at 11:30. But outside of that, the show is yours. Want to give your memories? We'd love to hear them. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.